Let me know when you are ready.
Whenever you are.
Oh, okay. I'm trying this different, so let's see if it works.
Okie
I'm recording. Yeah, recording. Okay. Let's go.
Do it.
Oh, no.
Oh
That's not
no.
gonna work.
Uh-oh. Just kidding.
Ha-ha.
Try it again.
Balls, a supernatural podcast with Lizzie and Missy.
Hi, Liz.
What's up, miss?
Nothing. I thought this was gonna work out differently
I
than
mean,
it did.
it worked. It still worked.
Yeah. Oh, I deleted my Audacity because I thought that's what was killing my computer memory or my storage. So I had to play the MP3 instead of the Audacity little project I had. So I guess I'll have to fix that.
Oh, technology.
Don't you love it?
It's the best.
So much fun. How are you doing today?
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm tired. I had a weird dream.
Oh no.
It was like being in a horror movie, but it was like a mix of like Scream with like Trick or Treat. And that apparently there was like a killer, but he was like killing, I guess, people who either upset me or like picked on people. And all I remember is the ending, and it was like we found the costume, which looked like Sam from Trick or Treat. So we left it outside, and then we realized who the killer was. But by the time we realized who the killer was, we went outside and the costume was gone. But like there was this flyer on the ground. So we were like, great, now we have to go to this place to stop the killer.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Did you get to sleep with Skeet Ulrich?
No, he wasn't even in my dream.
Oh man.
I know. It was very upsetting.
You say Scream and that's automatically where I go to.
I know. Well, it's that or Matthew Lillard, and I have nothing against Matthew Lillard, obviously, but like
Don't know if I want to sleep with Matthew Lillard.
he's also in 13 Ghosts, and I feel like that's one too many like scary movies that I don't want to be messing with.
That's true. That is true.
But I do like it. I do like Matthew Lillard. I mean, he played Shaggy, and he did it
Yes.
well. I liked it.
And
But I'm still nervous that I wouldn't.
he was in She's All That. He was Brock, the guy, the real world reject.
Wasn't he also in Without a Paddle?
Don't know.
He was an SLC punk, I know that.
Yeah.
He's 6'3" or something. He's tall.
What's Matthew Lillard up to these days?
He was in Scooby-Doo and Guess Who?
Yeah.
He was just doing a lot of TV stuff.
A lot of voice acting.
Yeah.
I don't know
Apparently
what's wrong with my voice.
he was in Twin Peaks.
Oh, really?
I decided to look this up
Okay.
and see what he was in.
Get everybody up to date on what Matthew Lillard is doing.
He was in a lot of Scooby-Doos as the voice of Shaggy
Yeah, he does
before
the
he was
animated.
actually like the real Shaggy. Apparently, he was also in Scream 4 as the guy at Stabathon, because why not?
His middle name is Lynn.
That's all. Matthew Lynn Lillard.
He's 51.
He is from Lansing, Michigan.
He wasn't without a paddle.
As a side note, Skeet Ulrich is also five is 51,
I love Skeet Ulrich.
but he's only 6 foot.
It doesn't matter. Have you seen him?
Yeah, he's half the reason I kept watching Riverdale.
Oh my God. Oh, I miss him on Riverdale.
I know. His birthday is 8 days after mine.
Cool. Matthew Lillard was also in Summer Catch with Freddie Prinze Jr.
That sounds about right.
I don't know why it's so hard to say Lillard. Matthew Lillard.
Matthew Lillard. I like his last name. I think it's what it is about him that I really like. I also apologize. I feel like Tallahassee, stop barking at the DHL man. He gave you smoothies and not you, but.
He brought smoothies to the house.
Yeah, he's gonna help keep your mom healthy so she can do the hot girl summer thing.
Hot girl summer.
Well, it's that or it's married girl, married wife summer, and I'm neither hot nor married, so.
I'm in the chubby girl life.
I'm just doing the summer thing, and that's even questionable. Everyone keeps wanting me to get this Bakugo swimsuit. This is not good. I messaged a friend yesterday because of the Amazon Prime Day, and it was funny because I was like, man, Amazon Prime hits so much diff so much it hits so different when you're cosplay. Because I looked at Nicole and I was like, I literally bought shampoo, a wig. Was it shampoo, a wig, a maid uniform, and a My Hero Academia PJ set.
I did not buy anything because I don't have Prime.
And then I'm also sitting there going, I also need some shampoo.
Might as well get it now.
So I did. I bought cosplay and hair care.
There you go.
I'm excited about this wig, though. It's a long, pretty wig. So we'll see. All right. So let's just get into it. All right.
Dive right into it.
We can dive or ascend, I guess, because the episode we're talking about is season 4, episode 10, Heaven and Hell. It came out November 20th, 2008, and takes place in Union, Kentucky and Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Hey, Sioux Falls.
Sioux Falls. That's a place that always messes me up.
It's been a hot minute, Sioux Falls.
Looking at the spelling of it, I don't want to call it Sioux Falls.
What do you want to call it?
Sioux.
Sioux Falls.
Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
It's a silent X.
It's a silent I, too, in that case.
Sioux.
Sioux.
Are you ready? Are the dogs ready for a plot? Are the puppies ready?
Can you hear them? They're currently fighting on the couch right now. And by that, I mean, they're just whining at each other on the couch and the other one's licking a floor and Tallahassee's just watching everything happen. Muting my phone since now that I have plans. For the next 3 nights, I'm just apparently going wild.
Oh, well, hey, why not?
Meeting some coworkers tonight for a beer. It's Friday, we're doing happy hour with my other friends. And then Saturday, I was just invited out to the South Side with some other friends.
Damn, look at you go, girl.
This is what we call a downward spiral.
Oh, come on.
And we'll see how it goes.
How about living your best life and not caring about what other people think?
My liver's going to care.
Well, you don't have to get shit-faced every day.
I'm just going to channel my inner early 20s Dean for rest of 2021.
When you're in your 30s, that is never a good idea. Trust me. It's never a good idea to try to channel your early 20s.
No, not my early 20s. I'm channeling early 20s Dean.
That's even worse.
We'll find out.
Not survive.
I unearthed a decent amount of flannel the other day, most of which is pretty thin.
Well, let's just say this is our last episode of the podcast because Liz is not going to survive this weekend.
We're not even finished with season 40. And we didn't even get to season 5, which is like the end of the Supernatural, technically.
When this comes out on Sunday, she might not be here on Monday. Okay, is Tallahassee ready for a plot?
Tallahassee is sitting and watching intently for a plot.
Okay, I hope she enjoys it.
I'm sure she will.
This is another fairly long one. Hopefully I can get through it without messing up. Anna banishes Castiel and Uriel by cutting her wrists and drawing a mysterious symbol in her blood, though she doesn't know how she knew how to do it. Wanting answers, Dean and Sam call upon Pamela, who uses hypnosis on Anna to unlock her memories of her mysterious early years. Doing so, she restores Anna's memories, which she truly is, a fallen angel who had become human by ripping out her grace, which she describes as being like an energy that is intrinsic to angels. Sam manages to track down her grace, which they keep putting it in capital letters like it's a name.
Her grace?
Her grace.
Well, I mean, because I guess it's like a proper terminology.
Yeah.
But I mean, to me, an angel's grace is like a human blood-ish, or is it like human soul?
I would think it would be like a soul.
Like a soul.
Yeah. So anyway, Sam finds it, which would turn her back into an angel and restore all her powers. When the group goes to retrieve it, they find it's already been taken. Anna receives an ultimatum from the angels that she is to be given to them or else Dean will be sent back to hell. Oh no, don't do it.
Dean is not a pawn piece. Don't exactly. Treat him as such.
Why are we using him?
That's again the whole, like, remember last time Cass was like, I brought you out, I could put you back. That's what the angels are doing again. They're like, we pulled you out, but we'll put you back if we don't figure this out.
Dicks.
You need him.
Seriously. They don't want to admit it yet.
No.
The group seems to be at a loss for a plan. That night, Anna approaches Dean and tries to broach the subject of what happened in hell. Although he can't talk about it, she offers him some reassurance and smoochies him, which culminates in them having sex in the Impala on her last night on Earth.
I mean, what a way to go. What a way to go.
I know.
In the back of the Impala with Dean. That's on like some checklist, bucket list somewhere.
It's on mine. And then I thought, man, is that what Daniil and Jensen do now?
Hello. They joined the live call from the back of the Impala.
Yeah, it's been done. Okay. Meanwhile, Ruby goes to Alistair with the proposition of her handing over Anna if he will let her and the Winchesters go. Both Winchesters. That was key. He instead captures and tortures her with her own knife for the other's location. At the same time, Dean is forced to give their location away to Uriel, who has invaded his dreams and is revealed to be the one who took Anna's grace under threat to Sam. The demons and angels arrive and battle each other. During the confusion, Anna retrieves her grace from Uriel. In a flash of light, she becomes an angel again, and she and Alistair vanish. Castiel and Uriel, too, leave in pursuit of Anna. It is revealed that Ruby and Dean betraying the others was all part of Sam's plan to get the angels and demons to fight it out.
I don't like Secret Sam.
No.
I don't think it's, and I feel like Secret Sam is really Ruby's pawn now.
Yeah.
But I feel like that wasn't a thing Sam decided to choose.
No.
Because that seems very un-Sam-like.
Right. She is definitely behind something.
yeah, she was probably like, hey, so you know what you need to do? It's the only way to survive and save your brother.
Yo, bitch.
Make the angels and demons fight.
I mean, if you kind of think about it, if you get rid of them that way without having to, like, lift a finger.
Yeah, but I mean, also, I think if you've studied any form of religion, you'd kind of realize, like, yeah, that's great and all, they'll take care of each other, but you definitely have humans in the crossfire.
Oh, definitely. The episode's ending, Dean confides in Sam that he was in hell for 40 years instead of 4 months, and that every day Alistair tortured him and that offered him release from the torture if he tortured souls himself. After 30 years, Dean finally gave in, but is now haunted by his actions.
10 years of torture. Like, obviously 30 years of him being tortured, but 10 years of torturing?
Yeah.
Every day? And, like, do you sleep in hell? Or is it just 24/7?
I don't know. Because at one point he said, like, the next day. So, like, but how would you know it was the...
Exactly. That's why,
like, when you became whole again, is that the next day? Or... I don't know. It's sad to think about. And this is the one time Sam didn't, like, want to ask questions about it. And then Dean just kind of, like, threw it out there. It's like, I know you heard what Alistair said. And Sam's like, well, I know, but you don't want to talk about it.
That's going to bother me, that time frame, how to figure it out. Because I guess, like, I don't know. Because in mythology, Prometheus has his liver eaten every day by an eagle, but then it grows back every night.
Maybe that'll happen to your liver.
Oh, my God.
No, not get eaten. Oh, it'll grow back.
I hope I don't piss Zeus off that much.
No, I don't want not to be eaten, but to regenerate.
Not planning on stealing fire anytime soon, but then again, like, a couple drinks in, who knows what's going to happen?
Anything could happen.
Anything is possible. What did you think of this episode?
I forgot how kind of, like, heavy it was.
It's real serious.
Yeah, I forgot about it.
It goes, like, she basically almost commits suicide to banish the angels. Yeah. Like, hardcore trigger warning there. And then we get to see Bobby's panic room.
One part that did make me laugh is when Dean was like, Bobby's in the Dominican. He's in a banana hammock in a trucker hat.
Well, you've got to protect your face. Come on. Suntan lotion can only get so far. But there are two things that I'm sure Bobby doesn't mind. Sunscreen on his face, therefore the hat. And two, tan lines. Bobby doesn't do tan lines.
Could you see? I have a visual of Bobby in a trucker hat and a banana hammock. It's a little frightening, but I still pictured it as soon as he said it. I was like, and I think it would be yellow. I don't know why. It's yellow.
Well, because you said banana and bananas are yellow.
Maybe. So,
like,
yeah.
Maybe you're associating.
Yeah, I mean, probably.
I also like the fact that now we find out too that essentially there are spells to control or banish angels.
Yeah.
This episode kind of really showed that. Because obviously, in the first episode, when Dean forces Cass to show himself, obviously, in the guise of... But this time, we actually get to see that magic or sigils, that there are sigils that can somehow control or protect from angels.
Yeah. That's good to know. Because, I mean, but they don't really know anything about angels yet.
No, exactly. And yet, here's somebody who has, like, the knowledge, but not knowing where or how or why. And now they're going to be able to be like, okay, so now we can figure this out how.
Right.
And it was nice to see Pamela.
Hey, Pam. With her new fake eyes.
Yes. And I was pretty surprised at how, like, chill Pamela was with doing this after knowing she fucked with one of the angels already.
Well, yeah, but she didn't know she was an angel when she got there. As soon as she found out, she was like, bye.
Rightly so.
Deuces.
She almost died. She's definitely blind. She had her eyes melted.
Yeah, she's like, Castiel's a douche, so...
All angels are douches.
I'm not dealing with you, girl.
Mm-mm. No touchy-touchy. I don't want it.
Get away from me. It was really creepy, though, how Anna got up after that whole thing, and she's like, thank you, Pamela. I now know who I am. I was like, ooh, Anna. Like, what?
Well, because I'm curious, too. Like, obviously... She found out who she was, but I'm wondering if doing so, she sealed away all her memories and therefore, like, unlocked them. So that was, like, a weird switch between the Anna we kind of met before versus, like, the Anna angel.
Yeah.
I feel like in dealing with Anna later, spoilers, she acts like that because all angels kind of act like that in the business appropriate.
No emotions. No.
Exactly.
Yeah. Business appropriate.
Business appropriate angel, Anna.
Are they also in their business casual attire?
Only sometimes. Usually they're in their full-on, like, formal
business suits.
Yeah. Also, did they mention when she pulled out her grace and came to Earth?
Yeah.
The meteor.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, when was the meteor?
Her birthday doesn't add up.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. The meteor was in May of 85. No, April of 85. And she was, no, March. It was in March of 85. She was born in April. And Sam says it was exactly 9 months from when the meteor did. And it was only like a month.
Okay. Because that threw me off. And then also everything that she kind of, besides Angel Radio, knew what happened to Dean, to me, didn't add up if she pulled out her grace and didn't remember anything. Besides obviously hearing on Angel Radio. But like, can you imagine being that person who just is hearing these voices, not wanting to hear these voices, and all of a sudden they're just like, yeah, this guy is in hell. Like, we had to pull him out. He totally is just like getting tortured every single day. He's getting his mind ripped apart. He's getting his body ripped apart. Just kidding. He's now torturing people. Great. We really need to pull him out because now he's this real douchebag who's just fucking people up right and left and actually starting to enjoy it. But now he's going to be tortured for the rest of his life. Like, the fact that she knew that.
Do you think, though, that was like what they were talking about after Dean was resurrected? Cold? Yeah.
Maybe, but like, that's a hell of a lot of drama and gossip for angels, in my opinion.
Yeah, but they have to warn everybody.
Like, hey, so Dean's back. He's not to be trusted. He became a torturer of hell. Torturer of hell? What happened? I thought he was just down there.
It's water cooler talk. Yeah. Exactly what's happening.
the water cooler being Earth.
Exactly. Yeah. I like Anna was on Earth for 2,000 years before she ripped her grace out. Like, your kidney with a butter knife is what she said.
With no anesthesia, just doing it yourself.
Howie.
Which is also crazy later on. Now knowing that, remembering that, and thinking about that. And can somebody just get Ruby something? She needs to get out of here. She's causing a lot of problems.
So many problems.
She didn't need to go to the crossroads and do her bullshit with Alistair.
No, she didn't. And then look what happened to her.
Yeah, exactly. She fucked that shit up hard. After planting whatever malevolent seed inside Sam.
Yeah, now look at you.
Rude. Also, like, I don't know. This made me look at Dean a little differently, too. I mean, it's one thing to actually like be physically and every form tortured every day, but I'm surprised Dean broke. I'm a little surprised he broke.
Yeah, I could go either way with it. Like, at first, I think I was surprised, and then I was kind of like, I don't know. Like, I guess he thought he was going to be down there forever. This hell, as we know, though, is way different than Crowley's hell.
It's like North America, South America, just very different.
Pretty much. Yeah. It's a different hemisphere of hell.
Like, Crowley gets like winter and everything. And this form of hell just gets nothing but sunlight and devastation. And again, with the whole, you'd think by now that the brothers would be like, yeah, you know what? We got to find some way to figure this shit out because they're gonna exploit one of us and we're gonna not kill each other, so there's got to be some kind of way to get around this. But again, that's exactly what happens. They're like, hey, so either Anna or it's Sam.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously Dean already sacrificed himself once before and came back. He's not about to not do it again.
Yeah, he's not gonna be like, well, let me save the girl and not my brother,
the girl we just met who's kind of an angel, and I still don't trust angels because all angels are dicks.
Just because I slept with her doesn't mean I'm going to save her.
Yeah, it just means that I was a little closer to God.
Ah!
Does that mean... In that situation, Dean reached out and touched Faith?
Oh, my goodness.
You shouldn't let me have a podcast. This is a problem.
He definitely touched an Anna.
Oh, Anna in a banana hammock.
What?
I went Anna banana, and yeah, then it went right to the banana hammock.
And then to hammock, yeah.
Bobby, sorry.
Oh, I wish there was a picture out there somewhere. There might be. I'm afraid to look it up, though. Are you? You're clicking.
What? No, there's nothing. No, it's nothing but Jim Beaver in a suit.
Not a banana hammock.
Not a banana hammock.
Oh, we can't forget about the handprint, the Titanic handprint on the window.
Oh yeah, that was necessary.
It was totally necessary. They only had a little Celine plane in the background.
And it's the opposite. He let her go.
There was room for both of them on that. On the door.
You could save both Sam and Anna.
There's room for everybody.
You just got to scoot over. Got to think it out.
Seriously.
Stop being selfish.
Yeah, Rose. Scoot your ass over.
I mean, she admitted that there was room.
Yeah.
Jack just had to try a little bit harder, but
Leo wanted to go.
He was like, you know what? Fuck this bullshit. I'm out.
He's like, if we both go back, then, you know, Cal's going to find us and he's going to kill me. So, I mean, what's the point?
I feel like I can just go peacefully looking up at you like the angel you are.
Remember you always like this, not that 150-year-old lady.
Who just part of the ocean into the sea.
Oh, man.
Oh, dear. Okay. Well, anything else about this episode?
No, because clearly we're getting off track.
We're off. Okay. We need to get back on.
When that happens, we know it's just time to move on. Yeah. Move on to the next part.
Uh-huh. Okay. So next, you got some fun stuff?
I do have some tiddly bits.
All right. Hit it.
Hit it.
Hit it.
I keep going to Aubrey.
Ow. Where them tiddly bits at?
Oh, now I can't think of it.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. Into the thick of it.
Oh, gosh.
Into the thick of it.
The backyardigans. I don't even know what the fuck that is, but, like, it's stuck in my head now. It's worse than Baby Shark, and I don't want it.
I know. I've never seen that show, but and because of, like, reels and TikTok, it's, like, stuck in my head all the time.
It's not great, and I'm about to just go make some TikToks today because I found my old Loki shirt that I didn't realize I had, so I apparently have a lot more Loki stuff than I realized.
Nice.
So I found my new Wednesday shirt.
Are you going to go into the thick of it?
Yes. That's what I should have done when I started cleaning my room.
The episode title was originally Hell's Angels until just a few days before airing. It was changed after a notice of trademark infringement by the Hell's Angels Motorcycle Corporation.
I'm not surprised, but I'm a little surprised that they have that copyrighted.
I'm surprised that they would care that Supernatural used Hell's Angels as a title. Like, I didn't know that was on their radar.
They might be fans. You don't know.
You think I'm not saying that they couldn't be. I just didn't picture, like, from my experience in motorcycle gangs, you know, watching Sons of Anarchy. There wasn't a lot of time watching Supernatural.
Well, they didn't have a lot of time in between, like, jail and family drama.
And killing people and
hiding bodies.
You know, all the fun stuff.
Yeah.
This episode marks the first appearance of an angel banishing blood spell. When the angels are banished with the blood spell, their wings are briefly visible in the angel's shadows as they get pulled away. I didn't notice that. Did you notice that?
I noticed it a little bit, but I also became really, like, my second time watching it, I was very cognizant of the angel's wings.
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought Cass's looked real cool when we first saw them kind of expand.
Yeah.
Just as a shadow. And then obviously later on when you start seeing angel wings.
Into the thick of it.
We need that with, like, Supernatural. Just Dean, into the thick of it. Stand behind him. Cass is just, like, running around.
Love it. Anna says that when she fell to Earth, she fell at 10,000 miles per hour. For perspective, meteors enter Earth's atmosphere at anywhere from 25,000 miles per hour to 160,000 miles per hour.
So she was, like, a slow meteor.
Yeah. And this person from IMDb says, it is almost poetic that falling angels descend slowly compared to falling stars.
I mean, they're right. It's very poetic.
This is the first episode that mentions Angel's Grace. When Anna is talking about getting her grace back, Dean comments, so what, you're just going to take some divine bong hit and suddenly you're Roma Downey? This is a reference to the popular 90s TV series Touched by an Angel, in which Roma Downey played the angel Monica, who masqueraded as a human in order to gain people's trust and to help them, and typically eventually revealed herself as an angel by showing her halo, which appeared as a sudden flood of golden light over her head and shoulders in order to convince the people that she was actually helping them. The association of Oak with Anna is not quite arbitrary or random. Anna's grace touched down in an empty field and caused an oak tree to grow. Full-grown oak trees are massive, incredibly strong, majestic, and can stand for many centuries, simply getting larger and stronger over time. In pagan and early Christian cultures, oak was highly sacred, associated with strength, power, and divinity. It was used to crown kings as a symbol of their connection and closeness to the divine. Angels and supernatural are warriors, and Anna is revealed to be Castiel and Uriel's superior. In ancient times, oak was also used to crown victorious army commanders, and to this day, the oak leaf is still used by the military as a symbol of leadership. When Uriel and Castiel tell the boys that Anna is quote-unquote far from innocent and demand they hand her over, Dean tells Uriel to get another girl and to try J-Date. This is a reference to a popular online dating site for Jewish singles. I know a lady that was on J-Date.
That whole reference went right over my head, and I'm not even going to joke about it.
Dean says Anna might have sent the angels to the outfield, but sooner or later they're going to be back. Angels in the Outfield was a 1951 film about a group of baseball-playing angels who helped the last-place Pittsburgh Pirates.
Can we get them again?
The film was remade by Disney in 1994. I didn't know that the original had the Pirates in it. I just remember the Angels one from the Disney movie.
I'll say, I just remember the Disney movie, to be honest. I didn't even know there was an original Angels in the Outfield.
Neither did I, but the last-place Pittsburgh Pirates.
I mean, we're not too far off.
But this was clearly, what, 20 years before they were winning.
Oh, Janet Leigh's in it. Paul Douglas and Janet Leigh. The roughest guy you'll ever meet until an angel said hello.
Oh. Yeah, when did they win World Series? Like 69, 70, 71, something like that?
71, 79.
Oh, okay. That was
1960,
off.
1925, and 1909.
So the angels did help them because... Not that long after this, they were
9 years later.
Yeah.
you gotta work up for it. You're just not gonna get handed it.
No.
Wow, our uniforms haven't changed for shit.
Not really, no.
No, I'm looking at pictures in the movie and no, they look pretty much the same. Yeah.
Well, they did go to throwback ones not that long ago, I thought.
Well,
in the 80s they didn't look they did in the 50s.
Even the hat.
I mean, don't ruin a good thing, I guess.
I'm digging the fact that she's wearing a uniform too, but she's obviously got like an ascot on too.
Like Fred?
Yeah. I'm going to have to watch this. I'm very curious now.
Curious too. Was it filmed in Pittsburgh? Probably not. It was probably filmed in LA.
Here we go. IMDb for the win.
Always for the win.
Filming locations. Wrigley Field, Los Angeles, California. Metro or MGM Studios, Culver City, California. Comiskey Park in Chicago. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and Forbes Field. So it was somewhat filmed here.
So they did film baseball stuff at Forbes Field.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
So there you go.
Very cool.
Unlike Supernatural, that doesn't film here.
No, in that one random street, that one time, not when they were actually in Pittsburgh. When
they used stock footage of my hometown.
Yeah.
No problem. No big thing. NBD.
NBD. Ruby says, not this time. You not want to get between these two armies. It's Godzilla and Mothra. If one side doesn't get us, the other one will. Mothra and Godzilla featured in a series of Japanese movies in the 50s and 60s. Godzilla was a mutant giant dinosaur who gets superpowers from a nuclear blast, and Mothra, a giant moth, was enlisted by the people to fight him. The foes met again in the Millennium series, 1999 to 2004, a movie called Godzilla, Mothra, and King Ghidorah.
King Ghidorah?
Ghidorah, is that how you say
Ghidorah.
It?
Ghidorah, yeah, King Ghidorah.
Giant monsters, all out attack. Season 1, episode 15, The Benders. Sam and Dean interview a boy who witnesses a strange disappearance, and he says at the time he was watching Godzilla versus Mothra, and Dean says it's one of his favorites.
It's a good movie. I do like Mothra. I had a guard coach who, when he said Mothra all the time, because my friend had a really big butterfly clip back in the day, and he compared it to Mothra, but he'd be like, Mothra! Oh! Mothra. That's all I can think of now every time I hear Mothra. It's just Rowan's voice saying Mothra.
Oh. The hand slamming onto the fogged car window at the end of Dean and Anna's sex scene is a reference to the film Titanic and the quote unquote forbidden sex between Rose and Jack. Julie McNiven, who played Anna, said that they just had to do it. It was too easy an opportunity for a pop culture reference to pass it up.
Do you think that was like a discussion in the car when they were just like, you know what we should do? Oh my God, do it. No, you should totally do it. Yes, let's do it.
Oh my God, this would be so much fun. Let's do it. There's a deleted scene from the episode in which Castiel and Uriel discuss the aftermath of Anna's escape. Uriel wants to kill Sam and Ruby in retribution, but Castiel tells him their superiors have ordered that they be left unharmed. Uriel is furious and voices dissent, to which Castiel responds by warning him against disobedience, lest he becomes like Anna.
Ooh.
I say, don't do it, Uriel. You know what's going to happen. I just say, you know what's going to happen.
Gave a finger shake. Wrist slap. Don't do it. Don't touchy.
Don't touch.
Don't touchy. No touchy touchy. No touchy touchy Titanic scene. I also had this
lots horrible, of touchy.
Like, It's okay. My brain was like, don't touchy-touchy Titanic scene. Smack. Drag.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, when Dean describes his experience in hell, he explains that he was hacked, sliced, and ripped open, only to be healed so that he could be tortured again. This mirrors the punishment of Sours of Discord in the Inferno, Dante's description of hell. This makes sense, as Sours of Discord have committed fraud against their faith, and Dean deals with problems in his faith time and time again, as it is difficult to withhold because of what he does.
He's also a fraud. How many times did he say he was an FBI agent?
Yeah.
or
anything else.
Yeah.
Jensen Ackles says that during the confession scene where Dean tells Sam what happened in hell, although he didn't originally intend to play it quite so emotionally, when he was in the moment and in Dean's headspace, that's what happened. And so he rolled with it.
I think it worked.
Yeah. As a result, Jensen himself got very emotional. It was an intense scene, and Jensen says that for him, though his brain knows it's not real, his body doesn't and is working through the physical reaction to emotion. He got so worked up that when the director yelled cut, he couldn't stop crying. He had to go walk it off about a half mile up a long road where they were filming because he knew he would have to do another take. However, they had done the close-up coverage on him first with several cameras, and what we see in Dean's scene is almost all from the first take, which was done with two cameras. Jared Padalecki says that he and the crew were also affected by Jensen's performance. It made everyone very emotional.
Oh, I love hearing stories like that, like when Sam originally died and how Jensen handled it.
Yeah.
And then this.
And how Jared actually, like, didn't try to joke around with him.
Yeah, he just...
during that one.
Yeah.
That's all I have. I wanted to end with the good tiddly bit.
I like that. It's very sad, but it's very good. It's very talented. It shows his abilities as an actor. I don't know.
Yes.
All right. Well, since we covered Alastor last time, I figured we would go into Uriel.
Ew, Uriel.
Since we were in heaven and hell, we went to a demon to an angel.
Every time I think of Uriel, I just think of urinal. Like, I want to say when I say his name.
He is an asshole.
Yeah.
So, but this one, okay, so there is a Uriel.
Oh, there is.
There is a Uriel.
We don't have to have Uriel's twin brother.
No, his namesake potentially with like a couple letters removed and whatnot instead of Alastor and Alastair.
Yeah, alter ego.
Yes. All right. So the Uriel we know is known as the Angel of Wisdom. His name means fire of God or God is my light. And he is usually portrayed carrying a book or a scroll to symbolize wisdom. The Angel of Wisdom also shines God's truth to those seeking information, solutions, or to those who require wisdom. Other spellings include Oriel, Auriel, Uziel, or Isiel.
Yes. Uziel.
Uziziel.
So no, just made me think of like an Uzi. Like, Uziel.
So there's Oriel, Oriel, Auriel, Auriel, Uziel, Uziziel, or Usiel, Usiel. He's also known as the Prince of the Sun, the Angel of Presence, Patron of Prophecy, or Archangel of Salvation. He is mentioned by name as an archangel, one of seven in the Book of Enoch, which is part of the Jewish and Christian Apocrypha. He's also mentioned by name in the Testament of Solomon. He is apparently in Enoch, warns Noah about the flood in chapter 10. And according to Tobit 12:15 to 22, other archangels who are left to watch over mankind, including Uriel, are Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, Jophiel, Raguel, and Lucifer.
Ooh, Lucy.
Those are the seven that were left to watch over mankind, and obviously we saw how that turned out for Lucifer.
Yeah.
In chapters 19 and 21 of Enoch, Uriel reveals fallen angels who rebelled against God will be judged, and then he goes on to show Enoch a vision where angels are, quote, bound until the infinite number of days of their crimes are completed. And that's in Enoch 12:3. Now, according to the Apocalypse of Peter, Uriel is the angel of repentance. And back to the apocryphal text, he is one of four angels to promote the four corners of the globe as to one to watch over the world. And the four angels include Uriel, Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael. And as to the four corners that they protect, the south goes to Uriel, east to Michael, north to Gabriel, and west to Raphael. Also, according to the apocryphal text, during Passover, Uriel is the one angel who goes and checks the doors throughout Egypt for lamb's blood, representing faithfulness to God.
Oh.
And that is according to Jewish tradition during Passover. And if there is no lamb's blood present, then Uriel is the one to place a deadly plague that will strike the firstborn as judgment for sin. Again,
Uriel's
firstborn.
The creeping death?
Yep.
Whoa.
And if there is lamb's blood, then he spares the children of faithful families.
Wow.
Uriel is also the angelic guardian who protected the tree of life with his flaming sword after Adam and Eve were driven out of the Garden of Eden. And although his name is never actually mentioned in the Bible, the only three angels ever mentioned by name specifically in the Bible are Michael, Raphael, and Gabriel.
Oh, sorry, Uriel.
Sorry, buddy. Lo siento. Now, Uriel is one of the archangels of the post-exilic rabbinic tradition. He is often referred to as the archangel of earth, meaning that he has to do with all of the things of substance. Basically, everything we have comes from the apocryphal text and or legends, not actually from the Bible. He is originally one of the cherubs in the Garden of Eden and later left to be standing guard at the gates of Eden. So he kind of keeps moving up on his life.
Man.
He is also supposedly one of the angels who buried Adam and Abel.
Oh.
They were burned side by side in the field where Adam had been formed out of dust. He also apparently is the angel who offered the last chance of redemption to Cain, and Cain actually refused him. He's one of the four who asked for divine intervention on behalf of the fallen watchers who took human wives and created the Nephilim in Genesis 6:1-4.
Oh.
And if you're not familiar, and I think we mentioned it before, and obviously later on in seasons of Supernatural, Nephilim is half angel, half human offspring.
What if Dean has a Nephilim baby with Anna? Like, what if he got Anna pregnant?
Oh no.
One, that would be two kids.
Yeah, the
second, Nephilim baby.
I don't think Ben's ready for a sibling.
Especially a half human, half angel sibling.
That's a lot to unpack.
Yeah.
And we already see how Dean reacts to a Nephilim.
Yeah.
Supposedly Uriel also has dominion over thunder and terror, which is why he had the knowledge of the oncoming flood when he spoke to Noah. He is supposedly potentially the angel sent by God to wreak havoc upon Moses for failing to circumcise his son. But again, wow. Never mentioned by name. He is also supposedly the angel that wrestled with Jacob at Peniel. He is also supposedly the angel who announced the birth of Samson.
Why doesn't anybody want to use his name?
They don't want to give him credit, apparently.
Well, that's rude.
Now, however, Leonardo da Vinci did memorialize the reunion between Mary and Elizabeth in Egypt in a painting known as The Virgin on the Rocks, which was ever seen by Uriel. Now I'm having fun saying his name.
They give him credit for that one.
Yeah.
Uriel.
Some people in certain religions see Uriel as the mightiest of all angels.
Really?
Supposedly he rules over Tartarus, hell, and watches where the watchers await judgment. Again, being that angel of wisdom. And I had right here. Yes. So apparently, if you are seeking any kind of information, wisdom, or truth, there is a way you can potentially meditate to communicate with Uriel.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And if you wish to do so, I will give you some of the things, but do not take it from me. If he comes and shows himself to you, do not open your eyes and look him directly.
Yeah, we're not responsible for that.
Yeah, if you try this, I take no responsibility, but I'm just telling you what I found on the interwebs. Supposedly, you have to close your eyes and begin with connecting with your breath as most meditation starts. So you want to breathe in on a count of four and exhale on a count of six. And you're going to do that until you can feel a connection with your breath. And then you're going to see a multitude of ribbons of light. And then the ribbons are going to join into a single rope of illumination. And then you're going to imagine a circular opening the size of a tennis ball to take in those lights. As this is going on, you are going to repeat out loud, "Hi, Uriel." You're welcome. Hey, so glad you came. Thank you. Basically, you say something along the lines of greeting, honored to meet you, love to learn the truth and how you communicate with that and through me. I'm ready to receive the key to my own light, and please use me as an open conduit from the divine realm to this one so that I can shine my light on my truth to live on purpose and be that illumination for others so that they may live their lives in a tangible, verifiable way now. And then don't forget to thank Archangel Uriel.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Thanks, bye.
Hey.
Now, Uriel has been mentioned in some pop culture references more so than he was in the Bible, including John Milton's Paradise Lost, where he serves as the eyes of God. Ralph Waldo Emerson mentions him in a poem about the archangel that describes him as a young god in paradise. Obviously, Uriel has made appearances in Dean Koontz books, as well as Clive Barker, obviously Supernatural, the video game series Darksiders, as well as other anime and role-playing games.
Uriel just gets around.
He really does. Some of the places where I got my information and my references are learnreligions.com, Blackfeather Intuitive, Christianity.com, and BibleWise.com.
BibleWise?
BibleWise and Learn Religion.
For a second, I thought you said Bible Wives.
Bible Wives. It's kind like,
that's
of like
probably a different.
The totally real Bible Wives thing. Of the
Bethlehem.
Yeah.
The real Bible Wives of Jerusalem.
Yeah, well, you can go to different places.
Well, yeah, I know there's a Real Housewives for everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Love it. Meet Mary.
Oh, man. So next episode, we have season 4, episode 11, Family Remains.
Ooh. Can't wait to watch that one again.
It's a good one.
I don't remember.
I like this, the what they face off against.
Okay.
It's interesting.
I'll take your word for it.
As soon as you see it, you'll know.
Okay.
It's very sad.
It's sad.
Yeah.
Okay.
The story is sad. Just watch the episode.
Okay. Jesus Christ. Okay. Shit. Like, are you going to give the spiel?
Oh, yeah. No, that's my, yep.
I'm afraid if I open this, it's going to start playing. I clicked it anyway.
Nope. Good call. Yeah. So as always, guys, continue to like us, share us. If you can, give us a rating. That really helps us. You can always send us a message if we're doing something you really like, something you want to hear more of. If there's something you think we should be doing, obviously send us that too. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We also have a Buy Me a Coffee, and this term, it's a Buy Me a Beer because we're not bitches.
Correct.
So, yeah.
We're not bitches. Oh, my goodness. Okay.
It's all for that Hunter happy hour.
All the beer.
Which, don't forget, is going to be August.
Oh, they can't forget because it plays the beginning of every episode.
Just reminding them.
In case you didn't hear it at the beginning or you forgot.
It's August.
August 14th. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Balls, a Supernatural podcast with Lizzie and Missy. If you want more, follow on Twitter and Instagram at SBNBallsPod or email SBNBallsPod@gmail.com. Be sure to subscribe and follow Balls on your favorite streaming service.